Esther chapter 6. Purim is almost upon us. Thursday night at our house is the celebration. And where we go through the traditional food, it is impossible to have a festival, a feast, without having food involved. Even Yom Kippur, even the Day of Atonement, food is involved. You don't eat. And it is integral to your understanding the feast to understand why you fast on that day. So it is with Purim, the traditional food that we eat on that day is a very simple one. It's Chamentoshten. They're pastries. You'll get to see what they are on that night. We've been looking at the book of Esther for the past few weeks, and so this will be our final Shabbat that we talk about it this year. Esther is a wonderful story. It's a story of us carried away into captivity because of our sins, because we had defied the Holy One, blessed be He, and He sent us to captivity. And while we were there, there was a prophecy that He would bring us back when our days were fulfilled. But the Wicked One sought to destroy the prophecy, and He tried to destroy us so there would be no Jewish people to return. There'd be no Jewish people to rebuild the temple. There would be no Messiah. But Hashem saved us. Blessed be His name. We rejoice in the deliverance He gave us, and the deliverance and the courage they put in the hearts of Esther and Mordechai. We're going to pick up today in chapter 6. And really, we've talked about the story the past few weeks. Today, we're only going to read just a few verses. We all know the story. Esther chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. On that night could not the king sleep. He commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. It was found written that Mordechai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, which sought to lay hold on the king, sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordechai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There's nothing done for him." We're going to stop there at verse 3. On Purim, because of the verses at the end of the book, it says, "Every Jew and everyone who joins himself to the house of Israel will without fail keep these days of Purim." So every year we get together, and according to the scripture, we read. One of the things we do besides seeing the children act out the story of Esther for us is we read through the Megillah, the scroll of Esther. There are certain traditions that are carried out. For example, at the end of the story, when it says, "And he's read this letter." Well, it's tradition that the reader of the scroll pick up the scroll and shake it gently, saying, "This letter, this is what he read." When we get to this verse, chapter 6, verse 1, the tradition is that whoever reads this verse very loud, because this is the beginning of our redemption in the story of Esther. Up to now, we're in big trouble, and we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. We started off as slaves, and we're about to be decimated. But in this verse, our salvation begins. Isn't it funny that your salvation begins with, "On that night could not the king sleep"? Why is this the beginning of redemption, talking about a man who couldn't sleep? In Psalm 127, there's a very famous verse. I was going to have the children sing the chapter for you, and then I decided, no, let's, for the sake of time, we won't. Psalm 127, I want to read the first two verses. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. "Except Yahweh build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Yahweh keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." The scripture speaks about sleep being a blessing from the Holy One to his children. And doesn't that make sense? Have you ever been unable to sleep and how unpleasant it feels? But the scripture says our Father gives sleep to his beloved. It's a gift. I want us to think for a little bit past this verse. it's a blessing that he gives you sleep, but it's also a blessing that he wakes you up. What is the alternative? A coma. In Judaism, there is a prayer that is traditionally said every morning when you wake up. Before your feet touch the floor, you are to sit up in your bed. And you say, I gratefully thank you, O living and eternal King, for you have restored my soul to me with compassion. Great is your faithfulness. And your opening words out of your mouth before you get out of the bed are, thank you for giving me life another day. Because it is a blessing to wake up. We all know how wonderful it is when he gives us a good night's sleep. But how often we lose sight of the fact that he woke us up. We're going to talk today about waking up from sleep and not getting sleep and try to understand what the scripture says about it. I hope it's an eye-opener for all of you. No pun intended. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to begin with the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 21. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that the man should be alone, for I will make him an helpmate for him. And out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. The Almighty gives his beloved sleep. The first case of anesthesia in recorded history was on the first man. He put him to sleep. He said, I'm going to take part of you away. And I'm going to make another one. One that is like you. One that is a helpmeet. And it's a blessing. Have you ever had, some of you have had surgery. I never have. Except for as an infant. Some of you have never had surgery. Some of you have. And can you imagine, what was it like when you woke up from the surgery? It hurt. Sometimes it hurts for days and weeks. What if you were awake during the surgery? You couldn't take it. So isn't it a blessing that the Almighty put Adam to sleep? Isn't it a blessing that he woke him up from the sleep? And what happened when he woke him up? Verse 22. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Why did he give him sleep? For a reason, for a very specific reason. He said, I'm going to make you a helpmate. I'm not giving you sleep for no reason at all. I'm giving you sleep because you must rest while I make you a companion. And then I'm waking you up for a reason. He woke him up and he said, Here's your wife. You will be one, and what I've joined, man shall not separate. He put him to sleep for a reason. He woke him up for a reason. And it was so obvious what the reason was when Adam woke up. Here's Chava. Here's Eve. There wasn't a question like, oh, Adam had never seen a human before. He was the only one. There was no mirror. Maybe he saw himself in a reflection in a pool of water. But he had never seen a woman before. And as soon as he saw her, he said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, he called. And she shall be called woman because she was taken from man. He saw her and he immediately knew, this is for me. I understand why you put me to sleep and I understand why you woke me up. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. Jacob is running from his brother. We're going to pick up verse 10 through 19. Genesis 28, 10 through 19. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, Yahweh stood above it and said, I am Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, thy father, the Elohim of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest. Will bring thee again into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have spoken that, done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely Yahweh is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon it and called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Jacob went to sleep. He's running from his brother. He's afraid his brother will kill him, and his brother wanted to kill him. And when he wakes up, he has a dream. He wakes up and he's afraid. He said, Hashem is here. He is here. And I didn't know it. He's there when anyone sleeps. He's everywhere, but he's the one who gives you sleep. Now, who gave Jacob sleep? Jacob, have you ever been real scared before? Really scared, really worried? Jacob is. He's running for his life. Who gave him sleep? Who gave him the ability to sleep while he is afraid he will be killed? The Almighty did. Who gave him this dream? This wasn't what was on his mind. His mind is worried about, am I being chased? Who gave him the strength? The Almighty did. Who decided to awaken him when the dream was finished? The Almighty. See, the Almighty doesn't just give us sleep. He decides also when you waken up, when you are to awaken. Keep that in mind. And it is your duty to do whatever he wakens you up to do. Jacob awaked out of sleep and said, surely Yahweh is in this place, and I knew it not. How dreadful is this? But he rose up early in the morning. I don't know if he stayed awake laying down. It doesn't delineate the time here. But in the morning, he get up. And he said, let me make a pillar. And he reacted to the fact that the Almighty woke him up. That is the purpose of being awake. To react to the purpose that the Almighty woke you up to fulfill. Let's look at a couple examples in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. These early examples we're going to talk about are all examples involving dreams, although they don't have to be. I'm going to address dreams for a few more examples, but really what I want us to look at is the general issue of him waking you up. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach was on this wise. When, as his mother Miriam was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Adonai appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Miriam, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by Adonai, by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child. She shall bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of Adonai had bidden him and took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Yeshua. Yeshua is going to get, Yeshua's earthly father, if you will, Joseph, is going to get married to this woman, Miriam. And he found out she is expecting a child. He said, this isn't right. I need to divorce her. Now, if a man made an agreement to marry a woman even today in Israel, if a man makes an agreement and you write your ketubah, your contract, you are not married in the sense that you don't live together. You may not see your wife until the day of your marriage. If you're very strict or certain Orthodox Jews, do some things like that. But if you decide you're not going to marry her, you still need a divorce. So Joseph has to get a divorce. An angel comes to him at night and says, don't be afraid, because this is done according to the prophecy. That's a pretty scary dream. And it is not what his mind was on. It was not his own dream, the busyness of the day. This was from the Almighty. The Almighty sent him a dream, woke him up. And what happened? Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of Adonai had bidden him. He obeyed what he was told in his sleep. He reacted to being woken up. This is how a righteous man is to react. Chapter 2. Verse 10 through 12. This is talking about the wise men coming. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Miriam, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of the Almighty in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The Almighty spoke in a dream. These people aren't Jewish. He spoke to these kings from another land. And they obeyed. Now, I'm glad they did, but this is kind of a condemnation. When you see someone else doing something you should do and you're not, here you see even these kings from another land obeying what the Almighty tells them to do. That when they get up, they get up and perform the duty that the Almighty has given them to. Why did he wake them up? Why did he give them a dream and wake them up? He's saying, go this way, not that way. And they obeyed. This is why the Almighty wakes people up. Verses 13 and 14. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of Adonai appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Not only did he wake up, he woke up at night and left at night and was obedient, and he performed what the Almighty wanted done. He understood. I wake up for a purpose. How many times do we thank the Almighty for sleep? And how many times do we ignore to thank him when he wakes us up? And something I'm about to get to in a few moments. How many times do we ignore the job he gave us to do when we wake up? Same chapter, 19 through 21. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of Adonai appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he rose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Do you know what a father is? A real father? Now, I'm not saying someone who sired a son. I'm talking about what a man is. Do you know what a man is? A man is someone who knows when he wakes up what the Almighty's will is for him. And I'm not saying you never know. I'm not saying you're not confused that sometimes you don't say, I need help, I need prayer, I need direction. But do you know what a man of God is? A man of God who wakes up and says, I will serve him. And he knows what to do. All these examples we've looked at so far have been in a dream. But it's not always a dream. Acts chapter 12 gives an interesting example. Acts chapter 12. We just read this recently in our Bible study, so it's all fresh in our minds. While you're turning there, for those of you that have a King James version, this is the only place, as far as I know, that any translation that there is uses the word Easter. And in the Greek, it says Pesach. There is no Easter here. There are some, not translations, but interpretations. There are some Bibles that are not actually translations. They're just paraphrases, and they may have it. But I believe this is the only translation that uses the word Easter. And in Greek, it says Pesach. Chapter 12 of Acts, verses 1 through 9. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of Adonai came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. He said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Peter's in a very difficult situation. He's in prison. He was a man of faith, but he's in prison. And that is a trial for anyone's faith. He didn't do anything wrong. He's in prison. He's chained up. And an angel comes, strikes him on the side and says, "Get up." The chains fall off him. What did we read in Psalms? "He giveth his beloved sleep." Well, here's the angel of Adonai waking him up, because it is a blessing to be woken up as well as given sleep. But when he wakes you up, he expects you to do something. And the angel makes it very clear. "Get up and come quickly." "Well, I can't do that." And he looks and the chains fall from his hands. He said, "Come with me. We're leaving." And he leaves the prison and he goes to preach the good news. The Almighty speaks to men in the night. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 39 through 46. In the Garden of Gethsemane here. "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto him, 'Pray that ye enter not in temptation.' And when he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.' And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, 'Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation.'" One of the great traps that believers fall into is they find some verses on a subject. This can happen to any of us. You find the verse and it is so clear that you don't realize there are other verses that address the exact opposite and make that obvious as well. Where does it ever say that it's a blessing to wake up? Now, we know it is. But where does it ever say that in the Bible? What does the Bible say? "He gives his beloved sleep." Well, here's Yeshua telling his disciples, "Get up. I'm telling you, get up." Well, no, he gives his beloved sleep. "I'm going to sleep all night." He said, "Why are you sleeping? You should be praying." How many nights did Yeshua spend up in prayer? Because not only is there a time to sleep, there's a time to refrain from sleep and to serve the Almighty. Now, maybe he wakes you up at the night, and maybe he says you will stay up all night and you will pray. But if I tell you to get up, there's a purpose. And it is for you to serve me. 1 Kings chapter 3 has a very, very unusual example. And I'm going to throw in something that's an extreme. 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read verses 5 through 15. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 through 15. "In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. The Almighty said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him his great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne, as it is this day. And now, O Yahweh Elohim, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased Yahweh, that Solomon had said this thing. And the Almighty said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked thyself riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life for thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that shall be none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor, so there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. You know what's so remarkable about this example? Is how many times have you woken up and did not have a clear picture on how to serve the Almighty? How many times? How many times did you wake up and you knew what the Almighty wanted you to do and you did not run to do it? Here is Solomon and he's asleep. And the Almighty comes to him in a dream and says, Solomon, what do you want? And in his dream, this man loves the Almighty so much that in his dream, he asked for righteousness. You don't even have to wake him up. Everyone likes to say, talk about Solomon, talk about his latter days and his sin. This is early Solomon. This is the Solomon who called himself a child. And he says, in his sleep, he says, Father, I don't need riches. I don't need long life. I don't need the death of my enemies. I need your wisdom. In his sleep, he is able to answer the Almighty. This is a man. This is a man. Sometimes, I'll look at my children. Blessed be the Almighty who gave me my children. My children watch out for me because they know I don't get a lot of exercise and I don't have time. I have a choice. If I want to exercise, that means I can't study the word as much. I go to work. I don't have that many hours that I'm even home. We come home, we study Hebrew, we pray, we read, we eat dinner together. There isn't time to exercise. And sometimes I'll think, I really have to take care of this physical body. And my little children, whenever they see me lifting anything over than heavier than a can of corn, they'll say, Papa, let me take that for you so you don't get hurt. Even the little ones know. And I'll think, boy, I need to exercise. But do you know what? I'll look at this and I'll say, I need to pray more. That's what I need to do. I need to read more. I'll worry about this body later. I want the body that I have in the world to come to be real healthy. I'll exercise that spirit. Here is a man who's asleep, and in his sleep, he still thinks about pleasing the Almighty. The Almighty didn't even have to waken him up. Blessed be the Holy One. Sometimes you don't, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Sometimes you don't wake up and serve the Almighty. And there are different reasons. Sometimes you don't awake and serve him because you don't know what he wants. There are some people who don't even know the Almighty, who are his children who don't know their own father. This is very literal in America, where there are so many children who don't know who their father is. We're going to read this short passage about a man who didn't know his father. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And the child Samuel ministered unto Yahweh before Eli, and the word of Yahweh was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the amp of God was gone out in the temple of Yahweh, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep, that Yahweh called to Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Yahweh called yet again Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know Yahweh, neither was the word of Yahweh yet revealed unto him. I'm stopping at verse 7. Here is a child. What does the first verse say? It says that this child ministered, served the Almighty. It's not a question of, oh, well, he really wasn't a servant. He was. He was a servant of the Almighty, but he didn't know the Almighty. He knows laws. He knows his word, but he doesn't know the Almighty. I know about President Reagan. I've read some things. I had heard him speak when he was on TV. I know about his sickness now, but I don't know President Reagan. May it be that there's no one in this room, in this situation, where you know about the Holy One, blessed be he, where you know his word, you know his laws, but you don't know him. Well, I'm serving him, but you don't know him. And when he speaks to you at night and says, "Wake up," you don't know what to do. Who is this even speaking to me? You don't recognize the voice. He didn't, but the Almighty put someone in his path to help him. Verse 8 through 10. Yahweh called unto Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that Yahweh had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Yahweh, for thy servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And Yahweh came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant hears." Here was someone who wanted to serve the Almighty, who did serve the Almighty, but didn't know the Almighty. And when the Almighty woke him up for a reason, he didn't even know how to answer. But the Almighty, in his mercy, put someone there to help him so he would understand why he was being woken up. This is the situation we may be in. Say, "I don't know what he wants me to do today." That's why he gives children parents. That's why a man and wife are meant to be one. Because if one should fall, his fellow shall lift him up. That you would know when he awakens you why he woke you and how you are to react. Genesis 41, 1 through 4. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat flesh. They fed in a meadow. Behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-flesh kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. Who gives sleep? Who gives sleep to his beloved? The Almighty does. Who gives sleep to the pagans? To Pharaoh. The Almighty does. Who gave this dream to Pharaoh? The Almighty did. Who woke him up? The Almighty did. And what does the Almighty want from Pharaoh? He wants him to react. When he wakes you up, it's for a reason. Verse 5 through 7. And he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. Behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprang up after him. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. What does a man, I talked about a man of God. What should a man of God do? A man of God, when he wakes up, he should understand how he's to serve the Almighty then, why the Almighty woke him up. You know what someone who doesn't love the Almighty does? The Almighty woke up Pharaoh, and it says he slept and dreamed the second time. He just went to bed. He has a dream. He knows the dream means something, but he just goes to bed. He doesn't get up, he doesn't pray, he doesn't serve, because he doesn't know the Almighty. And he dreams a second time. He thinks, "I better do something. I was woken up for a reason, I don't know what." So he reacts in the only way he knows how. Verse 8. Came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told him his dream. But there was none that could interpret him unto Pharaoh. What does he do? He runs to the witches. He's a pagan. I mean, what's the surprise? He knew he had to react, but he doesn't know how. I was given this dream and I was awoken for a reason. What am I to do? But the Almighty brought Joseph into the picture, who explained to him, Pharaoh, here's what your dreams mean. Your dreams are one. And here is how you are to react. Here's how you are to react. Jonah chapter 1. Sometimes people don't react because they don't know the Almighty. They know about him, but they don't know him. Like we saw in the case of young Samuel. Sometimes people don't react because they don't know the Almighty and they don't know anything about him, like Pharaoh, who is a pagan. But sometimes his people who know him, who have heard his voice, don't react because they don't want to. And this is perhaps the saddest form. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. We know the story. We read it every Yom Kippur and we go through that. I just want to read verse 4 through 6 today. Jonah 1. But Yahweh sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners that were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship in the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. The Almighty sent a storm. The ship is about to be destroyed. Why did he send a storm to wake Jonah up? All the pagans woke up, but Jonah didn't. They're the ones telling him to get up and to react. And he didn't want to. He was running from the Almighty. This isn't how his people should serve him. Job has a very interesting commentary on this. I'm just going to go over this very, very quickly. Job chapter 4. The story of Job, he has three friends, three comforters, quote unquote, come to visit him. They have an exchange. They say things to each other and disagree. At the end, a young man comes. I want to read just a few verses in the exchange. This was showed to me probably 15 years ago. It's very unusual. Let me just say that. In chapter 4, Job chapter 4, Eliphaz is speaking here. I'm going to read verses 12 through 17. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake, and a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, and there was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Here's Eliphaz talking to Job, and he said, at night, something came to me, a spirit came to talk to me. Job responds. We're going to pick up Job's response in chapter 6. And all I want to read is verse 6, Job 6:6. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any white, any taste in the white of an egg? I think Bullinger has a commentary on this in the back. Is there any taste in the white of an egg? And it really never says white of an egg. What it says is there any substance in that which has no form? And it's taken as a rebuke. He said, I was asleep and the Almighty came and told me something while I was asleep. And Job answers, do you think I care about what you say goes on while you're asleep? I don't know that that's what it really means, but that is one of the interpretations of it. At the very end, turn to chapter 33. At the very end, Elihu comes, the last man. And he almost seems to have seen this exchange. Listen to the exchange, and he gives one more point on this. Chapter 33 of Job, 14 through 18. For God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. What is this young man saying at the end, Elihu? He's making it sound like, well, the Almighty does speak to you, Job, at night, and he does it so you won't be proud. Wouldn't you be proud if the Almighty spoke to you in an audible tone and he singled you out and spoke to you? I think I would be real proud. I have enough problems as it is with pride. I think we all do. How would you feel if the Almighty chose you to talk to? But our head wouldn't even fit in this room. We'd be so swollen. And he says, to hide pride from man. He speaks it to you at night. He wakes you up and you don't remember any of it. But he sealed something in you. So when you wake up, what do? Miriam, we're going to Egypt. Why? We're going to Egypt. It's nighttime. Get up. We're going to Egypt. He woke me up for a purpose. I'm not telling any of you to move to Egypt. Please don't. What I'm saying is, if he puts something in your heart and you wake up, you do what he tells you to do. Do what he tells you to do. If you have a dream about someone, or even more importantly, if you don't have a dream, have you ever just woken up at night and started, you had a thought on your mind, someone you knew. You haven't thought about them in years. And they come to your mind. Where did that come from? Get down on your knees and pray for that person. Who's the one who sealed it in your mind? Or you could be like Pharaoh and just go back to sleep and see if he wakes you up again. That's not his goal. He woke you up for a reason. I'm talking now about when he wakes you up at night. I'm not talking about when he wakes you up in the morning. He wakes you up for a reason. Do it, whatever he tells you to do. Oh, I didn't read my Bible. And he wakes you up, and that's the first thing on your mind. You go read whatever you had it in your heart to read that day. Do it. Serve him. Run to serve him. You never know what will happen, what will be different because you served him. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I want us to, before we finish this, I want us to consider the spiritual application of sleep and waking up, which we all know we talk about this every Rosh Hashanah and every Yom Kippur. But I want us to consider it today in the context of the book of Esther. John chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Now, Lazarus has just died. That's the beginning of the chapter. After these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Don't wake him up. Remember the Bible that says he gives his beloved sleep. I know what the Bible says. I am the one who wakes people from their sleep. I'm going to waken him. They said, but isn't it good that he be asleep, that he's asleep, that he rests? He'll get well. Verse 13 through 15. Habi Yeshua spake of his death, but they thought they had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Yeshua unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Lazarus is dead, and I, Yeshua, am going to waken him up from his sleep. Sleep is a picture of death. We all know that. Waking up is a symbol of the resurrection. We all know that. Who decides when you die? Let me go back. Let's talk about sleep. Who decides whether or not you can fall asleep tonight? He does. Who decides whether you're going to wake up in the middle of the night or whether you'll sleep all night and he'll wake you in the morning? He decides. He gives his beloved sleep, and he knows how much sleep you, his beloved, need. He's the one who decides when you wake up. Who's the one who decides when you sleep the sleep of death? Him. No one else can do that. If someone wanted to assassinate someone else, they couldn't do it unless the Almighty allowed them. The Almighty is the one who determines when you will sleep in death. The Almighty is the one who decides when you will awaken from your sleep. There's more than one resurrection. There's a resurrection of the righteous and of the unrighteous. He's the one who decides. This person was going to taste of the resurrection before the end of time. He's the one who decides. What happens at the resurrection? Remember Paul's words? You're going to have a new body. You're like a seed that was planted, and you come up with a glorious body. What? Why? To serve him. Right? Isn't that what we're waiting for? The day that all the dead come up and we're with him forever and ever to serve him? Then why don't we look at our awakening every day in the same way? When you wake up, whether he wakes you up at 2 a.m. or whether he wakes you up at 7 a.m, why don't you look at yourself and say, this is a symbol of the resurrection. He has just woken me up to serve him. Or do we just act like Pharaoh? Oh, he woke me up. I'm going back to sleep. This is not how his people are to serve him. Romans chapter 13. Paul comments a little bit on this. Romans 13. And he kind of ties all this in together. Romans 13, verse 11. 13:11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Why are you waking up? To greet your salvation, to greet your Savior. You know, one of the wonderful things, what happens? I don't see the little ones. One of the little children in the front row. What happens? What's the first thing that happens when you wake up? What do you do?
You're out of bed.
Before that. Soon as you wake up, what happens? You open your eyes. He wakes you up. He opens your eyes. What does that mean? So you can see. It's like he's telling you, are your eyes open? Do you see why I woke you up? I make sure your eyes open up. That's how you wake up, with open eyes to see what I want you to see. And what do? We see, we look at the clock and say, oh, I'm late for this. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I want to sleep for another half an hour. Instead of saying, this is a symbol of the resurrection. He chose to resurrect me today earlier to go and do something. I'm going to pray a little extra time. He woke me 15 minutes earlier. I'm going to go and pray. I'm going to go read. I'm going to do whatever he puts on my heart to serve him. I'm not going to be like Pharaoh. Daniel chapter 12. We have one more passage after this to look at. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel's an interesting book. We're not going to look through it. But in it, people keep having dreams. People keep getting waken up. And he expects them to do whatever he sends them to do, because the Almighty is the one who determines how much sleep you get. And when he wakes you up, he says, go and serve me. Now do what I told you to do. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Why does he wake these people up from the dead? Because some he is going to reward with everlasting life and the others to everlasting shame. Well, when you woke up this morning, what did you wake up to? When you woke up last Wednesday, when you woke up every day, when you wake up, what do you wake up to? Do you wake up to everlasting life? Do you get up there and say, I'm going to serve him. It's in my heart. I will wake up. I will go and serve him. Sometimes he'll put things on your heart. Someone will come to mind. You will say, I will get down now and I will pray for that person. Or you will say, I didn't read yesterday, but I am going to read today. That's your opening thoughts. When you open your eyes, and that's what you see in the eyes of your mind. I will read today. Other times you'll wake up and you don't have anything specific, but you should have the attitude, thank you, Father, that you have granted me life, that you have caused me to awake to everlasting life, and I'm going to serve you today. I'm going to serve you today. We're going to close in Psalm 17. Psalm 17. When the Almighty kept King Ahasuerus from sleeping. There was a reason. King, we all know the story. He called, said, go read me the books. They read about Mordecai. He was not a servant of the Most High. He was a king. He was a pagan king. And he couldn't say, bring me the Torah. Bring me the words of Yeshua. He couldn't say this. What could he say? Well, I'm a king. I don't know what to do. Bring me the records of the kings. And the Almighty used the records of the kings to bring salvation. Even this pagan who didn't awake to serve the Almighty used what he did to serve him. Perhaps in his own mind, it was an accident. Nothing happens by chance. For us, it shouldn't be chance. It shouldn't be, oh, it just happened. We should wake up determined when our eyes open. Say, Father, you opened my eyes and you're opening my eyes to serve you today. And I'm going to do this. You woke me up early. I'm going to serve you. There's a reason you woke me up. You woke me up because this is the beginning of the redemption of your people for today. Every year at our Passover, every year we do a little bit more. We learn a little bit more. We rejoice a little bit more. We close. Bashana haba'a b'Yerushalayim. Next year in Jerusalem, in the new Jerusalem, we say. How about when you wake up? This is David's prayer. We're just going to read the last verse. Psalm 17, verse 15 says, but as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Father, this last time that you wake me up, I want your likeness. Do you wake up with this? Is this your prayer, Father? I want to wake up like you. Or do you wake up and say, oh, I've got so much I have to do, and you think about the world? Or do you wake up saying, I'm going to serve you? Blessed be the Almighty who grants sleep to his beloved. Blessed be the Almighty who wakens us up to be in his image.